all three of the reading today richly deserve being addressed. This wonderful thing from the Book of Kings about God not being in spectacle, but in silence. And then this fascinating description of the necessity for faith in Jesus, who will somehow make any storm of life endurable. But I'd like to address again the passage from the Romans, beginning of the famous ninth chapter. And here, as I've said before, context is all important, because this follows directly on that astonishing text of last Sunday, where Paul made this enormous heroic claim, heroic in a very specific sense, that nothing was going to separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So this is the same Paul who will say in another one of his letters, I don't live anymore, but it's Christ who lives in me. In other words, Paul's sense of himself was absolutely inseparable from his understanding of Jesus and their relationship. And their relationship was absolutely constitutive of who he was, who he understood himself to be. And that's why this passage today is so startling. He said, I'll be accursed. I'm willing to be accursed. Cut off from Christ. So the stakes are the highest possible. And they are Paul's lament over the fact that many of his fellow Jews did not see Jesus as raised by God from the dead. Now, what's at stake here is something that I think most of us who grew up in the Roman church had absolutely no sense of, and maybe still have no sense of. That Jesus, the existence of Jesus, was not for the sake of founding a new church. I mean, there's not a single reputable, non-fundamentalist scholar of any stripe, Catholic, Protestant, whatever, who will say that Jesus intended to found a church. Rather, Jesus simply saw his own job in life to reform his own Judaism. Jesus was a Jewish reformer. And what developed into an entirely distinctive religious movement was simply a fluke of history. The destruction of Jerusalem the year 70 by the armies of Rome, and all kinds of other things which were not necessary in any way, but simply the vagaries of history. So we are basically, as Pius IX said, but never really taken seriously, spiritually Semites. We're Jews. We are Reformed Jews. That is our religious identity. And one of the reasons why that is so alien to most of us is that most of scripture scholarship was carried on by German academics, immersed, marinated in the anti-Semitism of 2,000 years in Germany, who could not acknowledge that, plus the hubris, often enough, of the Christian churches, who wanted to proclaim at every point their superiority to those goddamned Jews. And I use that word advisedly. Christ killers. So that in and of itself is really important, because as I've said over and over in the years that I've been trying to talk about the scriptures, we have lost enormous amount of religious depth and richness because we have cut ourselves off from our Jewish roots. And that's why this is crucial. Now that's the end of part one. Part two. Because there are far graver implications, I think, in just cutting ourselves off from our own Judaism. And it has to do with a sense of time. I grew up in a church, and as many Catholics did, and certainly all through the seminary, in which everything was eternal. You know? Let nothing be innovated except what had been handed on, in Latin it sounds a little classier, was the ruling rubric for all of our academic stuff in the seminary. So we have all kinds of stuff like that. I've never been to the Vatican, but I've seen those great larger-than-life statues of Augustine and some of the other followers wearing copes and mitres. Because in the 16th century, bishops wore copes and mitres. But obviously, Augustine in the 3rd century did not wear a cope and a mitre. But that's an example of what I'm getting at. We have tended to retroject into the past all kinds of later developments of Christianity. And the most central issues, the divinity of Jesus was contested for 300 years. God is triune. The place of the Bishop of Rome. I mean, the most fundamental, foundational things that we say we believe only emerge gradually as this Jewish Reform movement developed. Now, why is all this important? Well, for a whole lot of reasons. Intellectually, it's vital because if we say all this stuff was back there in the beginning, then we simply misunderstand what is really going on. We misunderstand, above all, God's way of dealing with us human beings. To put it as clearly as possible, we misunderstand the fact of God's enormous patience with us. That God doesn't magically transform our heads to think of stuff that we could never have thought of that had no relevance to our lives at all. Which is exactly what we have done in understanding that way. So we misunderstand the past. But perhaps worse than that, if we retroject all these things into the past, say they were there right from the beginning, then what happens? Then there is, we find a kind of perfection in those past moments which simply foreclose any further development. The word perfection is one of those lovely Latin words that we don't understand very much, but it simply means thoroughly done, thoroughly worked. If something is perfect, it's finished. Church has understood itself in all kinds of particulars, in all of the churches, as finished in some central, significant ways. The reasons for doing that are multiple, complex. The distribution of power in the church, for example, which aped imperial political arrangements. The word diocese, for example, which we hear today with ecclesiastically oriented ears, was basically a Roman political term. Some wag has suggested if you really want to find out what court etiquette from the Sun King looked like, go to the Vatican, where you will see the same thing being played out. Why is this important? For many, many, many reasons, but the religious significance is that God is still operating. That we cannot look at anything, either in our lives or in the institution we inhabit, and say, this is the determinate final form. There's no further understanding possible, no further development possible, because it's God dumped it all like a meteor right here on the earth, and our job is simply to attend to that finishedness. So again, in the spiritual life, which is what I'm most concerned about, all of us, I think, have suffered from an absolutely crippling sort of perfectionism. I am bad because I'm not living up to what? I'm not a submissive wife, for example. Or all of the multiple failures, deficiencies of the church we've hallowed, canonized, if you will, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not. It's simply not. And to read Paul saying, I would be accursed, cut off from Christ, because these other Jews are not catching up with God, with what God is leading us for. In other words, the future. God is the God of who promises, who says, I will make all things new, if we take the book of Revelation. In other words, she's a God who's open to all kinds of unimaginable developments, may I say. And that's simply the case. All you have to do is read the history of the scriptures, where the Jews radically revised their notion of God and what God was about and how God was to be thought of and understood and worshipped and prayed to, and therefore what implications it had for me. Let me finish with the words of a great churchman, John Henry Newman, convert from Anglicanism. Quite late in his life, made a cardinal, participant in the First Vatican Council, which, among other things, defined papal infallibility, which, as a footnote, Newman thought was untimely. He did not disagree. He said, this is not timely to do this at this moment. And Newman's one of the great voices awakening us to the fact of the developments in the church. In the history of Christianity. And in one of his books he said this, to grow is to change, and to become perfect is to have changed often. Help, O God, who calls us to the future, in the lovely line from that spiritual, fix us. Because we are busted. And we are busted largely because we want the security of the here and now, the already achieved. We don't want to face all kinds of unknown, unexpected future developments.